This podcast may contain hoarse language. Listener discretion is advised. Listen up, everybody. Get ready for the pod that rocks your bod. It's now time for the Flix Max podcast. Here are your hosts and two true flyers, Scott and Terrence.
Hello, and welcome to Flix Max. This is episode 2 of season 4, and I am one of your hosts, Scott.
Oh, hi, Scott, and I am Terrence.
Oh, nice to meet you. Is this your first time here?
This is my third time here.
Third time, right. Okay, I forgot the time you were invisible that one time.
Well, then I've been here all the time.
Oh, okay.
For counting the times that I was invisible, yes. I've been here every time.
Okay, and were you naked while you were invisible?
Maybe.
I'm just going to picture that for a second.
Yeah, I can be naked right now if you want.
Well, I mean, you can. I'm the only one who's going to be able to see it. So,
well, I'm not doing it for anybody else's benefit.
That's true. I can describe it for people. I can, all right. You know, I could tell people all about it. Maybe we should get off this tangent. So yeah, right. So this is episode 2, like I said, and it's us adjusting to our new format, more segmented and more list or rankings.
That is correct.
Oriented, yes. So, so where did we start off with our last podcast? Did we?
I think we did the quick review.
We did a quick review, which we didn't catch a movie together in the theater this past week. So, I guess that means I guess we'll start off with see how we did with our goals, and then we can go on with reviews from there. So, we had this new segment where we challenge ourselves to watch a particular kind of movie or a specific movie in between the podcasts. And if we don't, no big deal. But so, Terry, what did you challenge yourself with, and did you succeed?
I challenged myself with the movie Wolfen from 1981.
Yes.
And I succeeded.
Well done, Terry.
And what about you?
I chose to finally watch, well, finally, it came out this year, to watch Psycho Gorman, and I did watch that, so I have succeeded. Yes. Okay, next segment. No. So how did you find Wolfen?
Very weird.
Yeah.
Not your typical werewolf movie at all.
No.
It was like, it's total 80, like late 70s, early 80s type weird. It was good. I enjoyed it. It just was not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't very horrific.
No. I mean, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, I did see it, but I was fairly young. I believe the only time I've seen it was on a VHS rental. And that's the only time I watched it.
Oh,
so well, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. But yeah, don't expect like Howling or anything like that.
No, like I don't even remember. Is there even transformation scenes in it or anything like that?
Barely.
Yeah.
It's more of like a weird cop movie. Okay. It's strange. It's like it's got a lot of like Native American lore to it and stuff.
Okay.
But I don't know. I probably won't watch it again, but it was all right.
But you're glad you did. You can knock that off your movie bucket list.
Yes.
And I, for one, yes, I watched Psycho Gorman, or as it's also known, PG Psycho Gorman, and I quite enjoyed it. It's obviously very over the top, extremely campy, but I thought it was very well done. The gore is just outlandish, but you know, it was very funny at times. Even though this really didn't do much at box office or theater, I almost think that it seems like it was made for an international audience, because most of the creatures from the other planet, their mouths don't really move with the heavy makeup that's on them. So you could throw any language or any voice in there and it would match up. I mean, they actually look like characters from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That's the way they looked, but they looked great and they were, you know, creative in their design, but it was an entertaining flick.
What did you think of the little girl's acting?
I didn't mind it. At first it was a little jarring. Threw me, but
The first 10 minutes, it's like, holy shit. But
I think that was a choice. I don't think she was a bad actress. I think she was leaning into the camp. And so she had that aggressive attitude in your face. And I think she also needed that for the character, like bossing around her brother, telling her parents what to do, to show that she had the capability of controlling this alien assassin. So
Psycho Goreman.
Yeah. And so, it was like her cadence was really weird at first, like the way she was delivering some of the lines. Right. And so I'm like, okay, once it was a little, wasn't off-putting, but it was like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. But then once I started watching and I got used to it, I was fine with it. I didn't, you know, I know a lot of people found it her annoying, but I think she leaned into the part and was actually decent. So there.
Oh, very nice. That's very nice. Very nice review of Psycho Goreman.
Yes. Psycho Goreman.
I saw it. I thought it was a cute little movie.
It was cute. Yeah, it was cute. It's a cute movie.
All right.
All right. So, I guess we can save the pick of the pod till the end. That can be our, you know, our button to end on. So I guess we might as well jump into our listings.
Yes.
Yes. And I believe in, you know, just to paraphrase what the list was, we don't really have an exact title for it, but it's more of our listing of heroes and or villains from Marvel who we think deserve better representation in the MCU.
Either, like, this doesn't mean they haven't been in a movie.
No.
But maybe they need to be better in a movie or need to be more in a movie, have their own movie, whatever.
Yes.
Flix Max brings to you the list. This episode, Marvel Comics characters that deserve a better shake in the MCU. Now here are the two biggest deals in podcasting, Scott and Terrence.
Because some of the people that I have on my list, they've been in it, but I want to know more about them. And then some of them, it's not like they've been poorly represented. It wasn't enough.
Yes.
So.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right. So,
if you want to start, I think you might have a more spread of knowledge or whatever, wealth of knowledge on this topic, because I think you've read more comics than I have. Most of the characters and stuff I know are just from the movies I've seen. There's about a year and a half period when I did collect comics when I was like 13, 14. So I'm drawing a bit from there. So I have a very narrowed pool to pick from. So
forgive
So I think you will have a wider thing. If we overlap, I'll be surprised, but I think we already know that's happening. So
I don't really have these in any typical order.
Yeah,
neither do I. Except for my last one is probably the one that I'd like to see most, and I think it would be cool.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with Peter Porker, the Amazing Spider-Ham. Now, I'm sure you know who Peter Porker is.
Yes.
Basically, he's a character like spoof of Spider-Man, but he's a pig.
Yep.
And everybody that lives in this world is some sort of animal.
Yeah.
And I quite enjoyed his comic books when I was a kid. They were funny. They were geared towards kids, but there was, you know, a little adult humor in it or whatever.
Oh, tongue-in-cheek type stuff. No.
Yeah, it's so basically all the characters were there, except they were like a play on an animal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I just think it would be cool. And he was in the animated movie.
Yes, he was in the Spider-Verse movie, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it would be like cool if they did like you know, maybe even like a series on Disney would be cool. Animated.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'll start off was somebody who just so happened to appear in the Into the Spider-Verse movie as well. And this is for me, that was a prominent villain when I was reading the series, Spectacular Spider-Man from the late 80s. And it's this character called Tombstone, who I enjoyed. You know, he's just, you know, just a badass or whatever. You know, says he's superhuman strength and skilled marksman and all that, just razor sharp teeth, whatever, you know, but he's just a bad guy. He has connection to, you know, Spider-Man's friend, Robbie Robertson. I think in the ones I read, I think he actually kills Robbie Robinson in like one of the late things. But I liked him. I liked the look of him in the comic. He kind of like a white flat top. I saw, like when I read it, I was thinking that Christopher Walken could have played that part. I think he's gotten a little too old to have played it now. But that's just somebody who I like to see. I think that he'd make a good baddie, or like a like somebody who teams up with somebody else, not necessarily be like the prime villain in something, but just to him to team up with another villain.
I'm trying to think of what he looks like, because I know who you're talking about, and if it's the guy I have in my head. Ah, yes, this dude. Yeah, he's still around apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had some crossover with Daredevil and stuff like that, but a lot of Spider-Man and Daredevil, there's crossover with those. So, but yeah, that's just one character I would like
to see. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of crossover between Daredevil and Spider-Man characters.
Yeah. Like Kingpin's huge. One. Yeah. All right. May go on.
My next one is like maybe one of Marvel's more, I'd say he's a top five Marvel character, but his movies have been garbage.
Right.
He's been very limited in the MCU now, and that's the Hulk.
Right.
Like, I don't know why Universal couldn't get it right. But like the MCU's got it right, but he's like, they put him in the Hulkbuster suit
and right.
shit like that. Like, I don't know. Like, just have a movie basically that is the equivalent of the 5-second scene where he beats the crap out of Loki.
Right.
In the first Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the first one? Yes.
Yeah, it's in the first one. Yeah.
And just have him go mental. Like,
right.
I know that they... Like Ragnarok is probably the best attempt to do a Hulk story.
Right.
But it was a Thor movie. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they hybrid the Thor and Planet Hulk. Yeah.
But like, don't even make him a good guy. Just make him the Hulk.
Yeah.
Because the Hulk isn't a good guy half the time. He's a wild animal.
Yeah. Can't be contained. But now, I mean, obviously, who knows what Mark Ruffalo. I think Mark Ruffalo is supposed to be in She-Hulk, and he might appear in a couple other things. So whether or not they're going to keep him as Dr. Hulk or what, but I mean, I think Mark Ruffalo portrayed the character well. I'm just not a huge fan of intelligent Hulk. You know, a guy who's able to talk as much as he does, and you know, he should be a monosyllabic type character.
That's the thing. Like with She-Hulk, she's never really a savage.
Right.
She's always just kind of a lady that has the gamma ray powers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk, he's supposed to be uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I'd like to see is a Hulk, like just 2 hours of him smashing shit.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My next one has been featured a lot, actually. He's always been one of my favorite characters and favorite X-Men specifically. And I would just like to have more of an origin story for him, or just where he's the central focus, and that's Nightcrawler. Yeah. I mean, I thought Alan Cumming was great in X2. He's not as utilized in some of the prequels for the X-Men, but I love his character. I love his abilities, and he's just, you can have a lot of fun with him. And yeah, I would like to see like an origin story with him, whether they do like an origin series or something like that.
Nightcrawler was one of my favorites when the second wave of X-Men came in.
Yeah.
Like Wolverine, Storm, all them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's good. He is good. Is that it?
Yeah, that's all I really have to say about that.
My next one is a villain, Dr. Doom.
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of the main bad guys in the Marvel universe, Marvel comics. But he's like a joke in the Fantastic Four movies. Like,
right.
I just think that they've wasted a lot of potential with their villains, changing them, making them different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and nothing against what's the guy's name that played him
the first time. Yeah, I can't remember who was
the guy from Nip Tuck.
Julian McMahon.
Yeah, Julian McMahon. Nothing against him, but
yeah,
just the Fantastic Four hasn't been done good yet. So
no,
and Dr. Doom's a villain with so many other characters too.
Right.
So
that's
another one for me.
Okay. I'm going to go back to villain again. This is one taken straight from the comics that I read. And this is a villain called Arcade.
Yeah.
great supervillain. No, smart guy, lots of technology. You could certainly update him to today's world of being able to control technology and telekinesis and that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, he's in a way, he's almost like H.H. Holmes, how he has the whole murder world with the amusement park and death traps, which I think could be a good one-off type movie as him as a villain, seeing as how escape rooms are so big right now, and like him have people being stuck in that sort of atmosphere. Plus, it would help have a more grounded villain. You know, he's also an assassin and stuff, but how all the villains seem to be, or most of them in MCU seem to be, want to be world conquering or universe altering.
Yeah, that this kind of guy stuff. Just wants to fuck with people.
Yeah, there would be a smaller character where that the ramifications of his actions aren't as huge as, you know, like a Thanos or something like that. He's just somebody who's in the immediate kind of danger of the people who are around him. So I thought he was a fun character, and I think it'd be cool to see him.
And you know what the worst part about him is?
Mm-hmm.
He's a ginger.
I know.
He is an evil, evil ginger. Actually, I saw, you know, those Marvel Universe figures? Well, Marvel, I can't remember what they're called, but they're everywhere, those.
Yeah.
I saw an Arcade one, and it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I've always...
a good choice. That's a good choice, actually.
Yeah, I liked him. And I think he was the first one who also introduced Juggernaut to me, too, because he, like, sick Juggernaut on the X-Men or whatever in the comic I was reading. And so Yeah.
Juggernauts. So my next one is Ghost Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, so many failed attempts. And he's a cool character. He's got mm-hmm. a cool background. He's a ghost.
He's a ghost with the most.
Wow. He's the ghost with the most shitty movies made about
yes.
him. Mm-hmm. Even the one in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
How they made him into he had a car instead mm-hmm. of a bike and stuff. Like, I don't know. Like maybe mm-hmm. like Disney seems to be able to get most of these characters right.
Yeah.
So just go out, buy the rights, put them all together. Let's yeah. do it up.
Well, I saw something like recently, like Disney like tweeted out a happy birthday message to Keanu Reeves and hinted at Ghost Rider.
Really?
And apparently Twitter blew up thinking that Keanu Reeves could be, because he's been in talks to Marvel. And people have attached him as Kraven the Hunter. But there's the rumor now is that no, he's actually lined up for Ghost Rider.
Why don't they get Nick Cage?
Don't
you know why? Because he's too busy making great movies on his own.
That's true. He doesn't need the help from Disney. He doesn't need that Disney money.
No.
He'd rather make.
I don't think he'd do it anyways.
No, it'd be too on the nose for him. But yeah, no, I mean, I think he'd rather make 5 movies than making one movie that you can make the same amount of money in. He just likes to work.
It's quantity, not quality.
Yes. But yeah, no, that's a good one. So my next one, again, I'm sticking in the X-Men universe, is Colossus. Colossus has always been one of my favorite X-Men. Obviously he was in, the first ones. He wasn't Russian in the first ones, but he did, he was human form and then able to turn metal. I'm not really a big fan of how they depict him in the Deadpool movies, how just always being metal, like not mm-hmm. hat, like they just show him like that's who he is. It's just the metal, not somebody who can become metal. And he was always seemed to be a fun character. And I think like you could have him go back, you could tie him into like that Black Widow world or that whole Russian thing and just tie that all together. And I've always liked him as a character. He got a shitty kill off in the comics though. I think he was poisoned or something like that, and that's how he died. Like
how else are you gonna kill a dude made of metal?
Poison
him.
Yeah. So I've always enjoyed him, and I like to see him get more exposure.
I thought putting him in the Deadpool movies was genius.
I mean, I don't mind it, but I prefer the one that is more human, and then he has the ability to get. But yeah,
but just because he wasn't in human form in the Deadpool movies doesn't mean they can't use that same Colossus in the Marvel universe, right?
Yeah, no, he's like he's.
I think they will.
He's a good straight man to Deadpool. Like he's like extremely earnest and good, and wants to make sure Deadpool does the right thing, but Deadpool just wants to give him shit and doesn't care. So
that's actually a good point, because I totally forgot about this one and it's not on my list, but Cable mm-hmm. from the Deadpool movies
mm-hmm.
I think would be awesome to have his own kind of backstory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's such a great character.
Yeah. Have him set like, have him like, have it take place at the time before he time traveled back to Deadpool 2, like in that like apocalyptic type world, the word I'm trying to say, but have him in that world, in the future, and have it set in there. Yeah, because then you could do anything, because it's not really going to affect the MCU or anything, because it takes way far into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So my next one is a supervillain. I've always thought that Spider-Man had the coolest villains. And this one hasn't made it into a movie yet. But Scorpion is my favorite Spider-Man villain. He's just a dude in a green suit with like a super hydraulic tail.
Mm-hmm.
And like his threat level is probably like 2. But like the old Spider-Man cartoons, like that's why I love the villains so much from Spider-Man is because of the old 60s cartoon, right?
Right.
The villains were simple, they were dumb, you know. But I think Scorpion, like Scorpion versus Spider, like, does it get any better than that? And he hasn't gotten any love in any of the movies, you know? So Scorpion or the Scorpion,
I don't know. This one is, I think I'm just trying to pad my list a little bit. You know, he was the baddie in one bad Marvel movie, and he appeared in one of the Netflix Marvel series. But I've always liked Bullseye. I actually thought, you know, Colin Farrell was fine as Bullseye. Oh, he's probably the best thing in the Daredevil movie. But he's just a you know, he's a fun character. And yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to say other than I remember him and liked him. And I think he could be a good addition, kind of anti-hero kind of thing.
It's funny how like the secondary characters like Daredevil and, you know, like Power Man, Iron Fist, those type of guys, like their main adversaries are like C level compared to all the other supervillains, you know what I mean? But they're cool. Like Bullseye, he fucking shoots arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's his super, like he's basically a bad Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Like, but it's cool. Like, you know, who would be a better foil for a blind guy than a guy who shoots arrows? Like
shoots arrow or just throws anything with like, you know, edged objects, you know, throwing stars, knives, whatever, you know.
So my second last one is I would love to see a live action movie based on this cartoon. There was never a comic book about this crew, but Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which was Spider-Man, Firestorm and Iceman. And they were just like young adults living together in an apartment that happened to be superheroes. Like, did you watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends?
I didn't. I'm familiar with it, but no, I didn't.
It's on Disney. It.
Right.
Okay. And it was definitely ahead of its time. And like there was always like guest appearances by like Captain America, the X-Men, Doctor Doom, like all sorts of Marvel characters.
Mm.
And it only lasted 1 or 2 seasons, but like it was a great cartoon and like basically one of my first exposures to Marvel, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's okay. You should check it out because it's very campy and very cheesy and a lot of like one-liner jokes and
right.
Iceman's voice always changes and but it's pretty cool.
Okay. So my second to last one, I'm going to throw a little curveball and I'm going to throw a DC out there.
How dare you?
And I want to see an adaptation of Captain Carrot and the Amazing Zoo Crew.
Yep. That was DC's answer to Spider-Ham.
Yeah, I want to see that. I mean, you know, based on, you know, the advancements of like CGI and motion capture and stuff like that, you could do that now successfully or make it like a Muppet version with all puppets kind of thing. But, you know, they're from an alternate universe timeline kind of thing, but they're going to be able to do that now because the new Flash with Flashpoint is going to open up the DC multiverse and different dimensions and stuff like that. So that is something that can be introduced, as well as the another in is somebody that I think I was just reading today that their first appearance, they teamed up with Superman to fight Starro the Conqueror, who was just featured in the new Suicide Squad movie. So
wow,
that's there in there, like they, you know, so it says, oh, maybe they are in that world because of, you know, Starro, so they could be in that world. And that would be a fun one.
Well, with members like Captain Carrot, Pig Iron, Alley Cat Abra, mm-hmm. Fastback, Rubber Duck, Yankee Poodle, Little Cheese, and the American Eagle, how can you go wrong?
Oh, I know. I mean, even if you want to make it like an animated film, that's fine. I mean, if you want to do a live action CG, fine, but you make it
do like a Space Jam type of thing with fucking
Live action and yeah, right, and right. Have
Henry Cavill's Superman in there, and
right, like you have a, like the Justice League meets the Zoo Crew. So yeah, so
I'd watch that.
Yes, so I think we are both down to our last ones, and I am pretty sure this is our overlap. So
well, I hope it is, because then we're going to sound foolish.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
So we're obviously from Canada.
Yes, we are.
And this is basically like what Canadians get as far as the Marvel Universe goes.
Yeah.
Alpha.
Well, minus Wolverine, which obviously is kind of a part of this, and Deadpool is Canadian as well, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But Alpha Flight.
Yes.
So basically they're Earth's guardians. They just kind of hang out on a space station.
Mm-hmm.
They've been tied in with Captain Marvel over the years and stuff. But let's just give you a rundown of the characters here. So there's Aurora Guardian, who's basically like
Captain Canada.
Yeah, he's like Union Jack, but with a Canadian
mm-hmm.
motif. Marina, North Star, Puck, who is the little big, strong, kind of small guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sasquatch, who's basically a Sasquatch. Shaman, who's like a native Canadian indigenous shaman dude.
Mm-hmm.
Snowbird, like how much more Canadian can you get than a hero called Snowbird?
Yes.
Talisman and Vindicator. That's the current lineup.
Yeah.
Their home base is Parliament Hill, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mission Mason Alpha, which I would imagine is their like mansion.
Right.
But I'm actually surprised that none of these characters have appeared in a Marvel movie yet.
Well, this is a rumor that's out there. Now, how, you know, true it is, obviously, is let to be determined. But, and this goes into what you're saying also about a Hulk movie, but this still might not be what you were thinking. Based on the agreement that Marvel has with Universal, because Universal owned the rights to Hulk. Hulk is not allowed to have its own solo movie.
Okay.
Disney cannot make a solo Hulk movie. He always has to be partnered with somebody else.
That makes sense.
I.e. for, you know, Ragnarok. So there's rumors of Hulk being in a movie with Wolverine. Him going to Canada to hunt down Wolverine, and Alpha Flight is rumored to be involved with that.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I thought for sure they'd be in the Captain Marvel movie, but
mm-hmm.
I was wrong.
Well, there's the sequel. Yeah, well, the Marvels coming out, but they probably won't, because they're introducing other characters in that. So
I hope this all culminates into a Secret Wars
That apparently they are working on a Secret War,
because that would be the biggest movie ever.
Yeah, like they're talking about.
When I started really reading comic books, that's where I started, was the first Secret Wars.
Yeah, no, there's talks that's their big thing for Phase 5 is bringing in Secret Wars.
What phase are they in now? 4?
They're 4. They're just started 4. So, but yeah, no, that would be pretty cool. I mean, I think we kind of got it with Civil War, and obviously but if you look at the Civil War comic, there are far more characters in that than there was in the Captain America. You know, there's only 10 on screen when there's a whole lot more in the actual comic.
Yeah.
But you know, with Infinity War, we got a lot together on screen. That was a pretty huge crossover. But like Secret Wars, I think you're bringing in like mutants and stuff like that as well.
Secret Wars was every hero versus every superhero with the Beyonder. Basically, as like he was just doing it for entertainment,
right?
The Beyonder. I don't know if you ever read Secret Wars, but in like the Beyonder, when he came to Earth for Secret Wars 2, he chose the form of David Hasselhoff, and that's what the Beyonder looked like as a human during Secret Wars 2.
Nice. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's so if we can get an Alpha Flight or somehow get Alpha Flight in there would be pretty cool. And I mean, it's they have other movies and origin movies of characters who
are less characters.
Are less characters and also not American, right? You know, they have, you know, the Black Panther, they have Shang-Chi now, so they have other ones that have different origins. Other than the States. So I think people would watch an Alpha Flight movie. So
of course they would. People will go to any Marvel movie.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I think we dissected that one.
I don't really have any honorable mentions, but
no. I mean, we didn't really have a number ranking, so anything we mentioned can be an honorable mention.
Like if I had an honorable mention, I'd say pretty much with the exception of Alfred Molina's Dr. Octopus, redo every Spider-Man villain. Well, Mysterio's okay, but the rest were crap. Like Green Goblin, like, come on.
Sandman.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yes. Yeah. But so I guess we go on to our pick of the pod.
Oh.
Hey, everybody. Quiet down, please. These two jerks have an opinion. Here is this episode's pick of the pod.
So do you want to start?
You know what? I will. Last night, on a whim, I was at home. And I went and saw the new Candyman.
Did you take your boy?
No, I didn't.
You went by yourself?
I went by myself. I just went. It was like late night. It was like 10 o'clock. And the movie started at 10:20 down in Seton. So I just like whipped down there to see it. I'm glad I didn't take him. Not because it was scary or anything like that. But it actually is actually more connected to the original than I thought it would be. And so I think it would be good for him to see the original, but I quite enjoyed this. I mean, it's not like I remember the first one, like really not affecting me, but it was like really brutal and grisly and, you know, scary. This one, you know, it's certainly violent, but it's not as graphic. And they really do tie into the original. In a really cool way, and they expand on the lore of Candyman. Like it's not just the original Candyman, it's other Candymen as well over the years that have been represented, you know, this figure, and you know they expand on, and then they create their own lore of where the story could go. And yeah, no, I thought it was I thought it was really well done.
Nice. Yeah. The original is one of my favorite
Yeah, original one's great.
Underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't get enough love.
And if
Virginia Madsen's amazing in that movie.
Yes. And if people are wondering, yes, Tony Todd does make a brief appearance in the new Candyman. So,
but is it true you were looking for Candyman, bitch?
I was looking for Candyman. Don't call me bitch, Mo. So what is your pick of the pod?
My pick of the pod is something way off the map.
Okay.
It's not a movie or a television show. It's something I watched tonight.
It's an event.
It's an event. I know you're not, like, I know you don't watch a lot of professional wrestling, but I do.
Here is the portion of the podcast where Terrence thinks people give a shit about pro wrestling.
I watched the All Elite Wrestling's All Out pay-per-view tonight,
mm-hmm.
which is like essentially their WrestleMania, I guess. Okay. But it's not on like a grand scale, like 90,000 people or whatever. It's just in an arena.
Right.
And is probably the best professional wrestling broadcast I've seen in I don't know how long. Mm-hmm. Like guys returning, guys making their debuts, great action, blood, guts. And that's why I was late to record this podcast tonight.
You son of a bitch. Is it like WWE in a sense where they have like backstories and like an ongoing story?
Yeah. But it's more like WWE was kind of like in the 80s and 90s where they built up a feud.
Right.
Like they build up the storylines.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just like throw two guys in there 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, yeah, they build it up and it's just WWE has become so unwatchable. It's not very good at all.
Is it because they can't stop trying to push Roman Reigns over the top?
Well, it's not only that, but they have these, like, they bring in these guys, they develop these guys that fans love.
Mm-hmm.
But if Vince McMahon does not, like, it's not like there's 12 guys that sit around in a room and decide if these guys, you know, they mm-hmm. don't vote on, okay, yeah, let's give this guy the title. If Vince doesn't like somebody,
right,
he's not going to push him. Like they've released so much talent over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep, not to pick on Roman Reigns, but they'll like bring back Brock Lesnar and push him to the top and bring in like, you know, Goldberg, for example, who's a shitty wrestler, a shitty character, and hasn't been relevant in 25 years,
right.
But they'll put him in the main event. It's like nobody wants to see that shit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, AEW is far superior. They're on cable, so there's actual, like, they use foul language and stuff. It's more realistic.
Mm.
So, and there's a lot of known guys in there now. Like, so yeah, and AEW is owned by Tony Khan, who owns, well, his dad owns like the Jacksonville Jaguars and one of the premiership teams. I can't remember which one.
Isn't Jim Ross involved with AEW now?
Yeah. Jim Ross is there. Big Show is there now. Mark Henry's there. This is just old WWE guys that you would know.
Mm-hmm.
Taz. Sting is there. CM Punk. A whole bunch of other guys.
Like Gordon Sumner? He's there?
Gordon Sumner is there, yep.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of Elf's name from Gordon Shumway is there.
Gordon Shumway, yes. Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot's there.
Gordon from Sesame Street.
Gord Downey is unfortunately not there.
No, okay.
I wish he was, but yes. Yeah.
So they're just the Gordon wrestling circuit. Is that basically what they are?
Yeah, it's just All Elite Gordon Wrestling.
Yeah.
But no, I've basically stopped watching WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fucking bad, which is sad because I've watched it since I was 10.
Right.
So I hate to pick on them because it's been such a part of my life, but AEW is far superior. The wrestling is looks legit real. Oh, Chris Jericho's there.
Nice.
He's 50 years old now and still wrestling. It's crazy. But yeah, that's my pick of the pod. I'm sure. Okay. I know there's a lot of closet wrestling fans who I don't know what's going on in wrestling, but they actually do. You know?
Right.
So maybe that's some of you listeners.
Yes. You will trigger and you will connect with some of our listeners.
I'm triggered.
You're triggered.
Who do you think would win a fight between Chris Jericho and Candyman then?
Well, in this new one, they make Candyman more supernatural. So he's got different powers. So I am going to have to go with Candyman on that one.
Okay. You're going to go with Candyman over Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
But what if Jericho used the walls of Jericho?
Oh. I don't know. It would be close. It'd be closer, but I think Candyman would eco
the victory. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Because he can appear and reappear whenever he wants. And he does have a hook.
He does have a hook, which I think would be considered a foreign object.
No, it's ring. Part of his hand. It's part of his body.
Right. So people are aware of it. It's not like he's hiding it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like when that... I won't get into that.
Okay. Okay. So something we didn't do earlier, which I mean, it's fine. We can do it now. What is your new goal for the next podcast?
Well, I'm going to, I listen to a lot of movie podcasts and one movie that keeps coming up in topic is Brian De Palma's Body Double.
Okay.
And it's mostly horror podcasts that I listen to. And I know this isn't a horror movie, but a lot of horror podcasts talk about Body Double.
That's like a slasher horror kind of suspense thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think I saw it when I was a kid, on CBC, the nighttime movie or whatever at some point.
Right.
But I don't remember a thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to check that one out.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen it. It's been a while. But I remember and I think I've seen it at least twice. I saw it when I was a kid, and then I saw it again when I was a teenager in early 20s. But yeah, it's what you expect from a Brian De Palma movie, just kind of like a exploitation type violence thriller. A lot of copying of other directors paying homage to other directors, as it's called. It's not.
Just say a lot of copulating?
Yeah, a lot of copulating. I think there is a lot of copulating in Body Double as well.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
I might watch it twice then.
Okay. So for me, I'm just doing a very broad goal. This is a line of movies that I do collect, but it's almost more of a status for me to collect them than to actually watch them. So I need to watch.
Is this shout factory?
No, I watch quite a few of my shout. I'm talking Criterion, because those are more of the pompous type movies.
Criterion collection.
Yes, part of my Criterion collection. Yes. They're more pompous and pretentious type movies. Although they do release a lot of David Cronenberg stuff, so. I will either watch one movie I haven't seen or watch one that I haven't seen in in years. I haven't decided which one I'll watch.
Way to narrow it down.
Yes. Well, there are some of the Criterion ones I have watched either as a Criterion release or before they were a Criterion release. Like the movie The Rock by Michael Bay has a Criterion collection release.
Deservedly and, so.
Yes. And so I have that. But I don't need to watch that because I've seen that many times. But
isn't that one of your favorites?
It's one of my favorite, yeah, action movies. Like I saw it 5 times at the theater, you know. And yeah, I enjoy the movie. It's like my top Michael Bay movie, which, you know, isn't saying much because, you know, Michael Bay is hit or really miss.
Did he direct that?
He directed The Rock. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. It was the one.
He doesn't direct anymore, does he? He just produces, doesn't he?
He produces. I think he's got at least one coming out. But yeah, he's done. I think one of the last things he did that 13 Hours, the Benghazi. With John Krasinski and other people. And he did Pain and Gain as well.
That's actually a good movie.
That's actually a decent movie, yeah. But yeah, no, I think I'm leaning towards Repo Man as a possibility. I'm not going to narrow it down, but yeah, there's a,
like the Emilio Estevez one.
Yes. They had, that's a Criterion that I have, or there's a French one called Man Bites Dog.
Yeah. I've heard of that one.
I'm leaning towards that one. So there's about, you know, 3 or 4 or something that I got to pick between, but yeah, I probably can watch one of those.
I think I might have a total of 4 Criterion collection movies and 4 Criterion versions in my my collection. House is one of them. Houseu,
yes. That one I don't have, but I did see it because you loaned me your copy.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah. So I think we got through everything. The only thing we need to mention is give you the teaser for next week's ranking or list, and I've selected our favorite oddball characters. You know, they don't have to be the lead actor, they can just be, you know, somebody who has stood out in a movie that is just somebody who's just not quite there, or, you know, it's just weird, entertaining, whatever. You can, it's subjective, but for me, I already started my list and I do not want to say any of them because I would like to say them to show you exactly where I'm leaning of what I mean by oddball, but I also don't want you to steal any of my choices, so I'm not going to say anything.
So,
because you're a thief.
Let's just say, for example,
okay,
Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. So would Kramer be an oddball character?
I would consider that an oddball character. Yes, somebody who's just a little,
or like thinks Friends, a little different. Friends, for example, mm-hmm. would Janice be considered an oddball character, or would you consider Giovanni Ribisi's character being?
Yeah, I would consider Giovanni Ribisi more of an oddball character. Yes, I mean, you could, if you want to go with the main thing, I would even put Phoebe as more of the oddball of the six. So, somebody who just doesn't think.
I would actually classify her under annoying. But you know how I feel about Friends.
Yes, yeah, you're not a fan. I enjoy it.
What are you talking about? I fucking love that movie or that show.
You do not. You're a liar.
I love the movie too.
You're a dirty liar. You're a filthy liar.
Who the heck are you? You're a liar.
You're a liar. So that's you have that to look forward to for our next podcast. So is there anything else you want to quickly discuss or say or anything before we sign off?
I watched Color of Money for the first time in like 20 years. Yeah. The other night.
I saw it at the theater when I was 11.
I did not. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that was a Martin Scorsese movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like a Martin Scorsese movie at all.
No.
But it's good.
Yeah.
Like, I think Tom Cruise is, that's one of his better jobs of acting.
Oh, I mean, he's playing more of a character than he's playing. Well, he's playing a cocky Tom Cruise as opposed to just playing Tom Cruise. But
he's whole scene where he's dancing around to Werewolves of London wearing a shirt that says Vince, his name.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just thought it just popped into my head. So
okay. Well then, but yeah, no, I
Oh, what about that mosquito
movie? Oh yeah, yeah, the Mosquito State. Yeah, that it wasn't great. I had no idea what I was getting into. But yeah, no, it's, I think it's trying to be like a thought provoking type horror movie, psychological type horror movie. But as I did a review for it, or at least this is what I said I wanted to mention that
plug your new Facebook group.
Yeah. I've turned Movie Drivel, like the blog and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. I've turned it into a Facebook group now that I hope can be kind of like a safe haven for people to discuss movies and whatnot. And so if you guys want,
that's the least I feel safest on Facebook is in that group.
Yes. Okay. Especially with some of the people who have joined right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just something I'm slowly wanting to build. Like it only like launched it like maybe like 3 days ago or whatever. But yeah, for Mosquito State, what I said was, one of our friends was asking about it, and I said, well, you start with Wolf of Wall Street, remove the drugs, debauchery, and the Scorsese touch. You add paranoia, mosquitoes, algorithms, and a slow burn body horror, and you get this movie, and it really doesn't add up, but it is beautifully shot. Like it looks gorgeous, but yeah, it's really trying to be something, but it doesn't really know what it's trying to be. Mm-hmm. But
I haven't been on Netflix in a long time.
Well, that's a Shudder movie. So,
oh, it was on Shudder.
Yeah.
I don't have Shudder anymore.
Well, then I guess you can't watch it unless.
No, I don't want to watch it.
So fine, then don't do it. And I don't know the actor's name. I think it might be Bo Knapp or something like that. But he was in the Nice Guys. He was the one who got hit with the dye pack and turned his face all blue or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, for the rest of me, he's the lead in this movie. So
he's hit the big time now.
Yes. Well, not really. He went to Poland to film this movie, so I don't know if he's hit the big time.
He got all those acting master class in acting from Will Ferrell and the Nice Guys.
No, that's
the other guys.
Ryan Gosling.
Okay, never Russell mind. Crow.
Yes,
Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling are great actors.
So yes, they are.
My joke has just fallen flat, and I take it back.
Yes, the Nice Guys is cinematic, comedic, action comedic masterpiece. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the best movies from the last.
And 10 the years. Other guys is his cop buddy movie.
Yes. Yes, which is good, but not as good as Nice Guys.
The only great thing about the other guys is Samuel Jackson and The Rock's cameos. Yeah.
Yes, or Michael Keaton as the police captain, always quoting TLC.
Yes. Any movie where somebody quotes TLC songs.
Yes. So yeah, so that's about it. So right. Until next time, this is Scott signing off for Flixmax.
Oh, and I'm Terrence, and I'm saying goodbye.
Okay, so toodles.